Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, we've been talking about these prophetic warnings and what's taking place, and it's just, you know, if you've been with us for a while, we've been talking about it, but, you know, those warnings are over. I mean, we'll talk about some happenings, but the warning's over. Mm-hmm. You know, as of last weekend, it's all begun.
It's here, yeah.
And so there's going to be some unfolding of some things that are going to take place that have been prophesied about, and probably you're going to hear more like, this is that, you know,
right. Because,
you know, but the exciting thing is this, is that it's going to be the greatest days, you know, for the church, you know, meaning not a building and not an organization, but for those who love God and want to go out and let people know that God loves them and has a plan for their life and to win the world, as many people who want to come to
That's
the Lord.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think about, you know, Rick Joyner, when he was talking to Jim Baker about preparation, and he ended with talking about, but this is a time where people's attention is going to get off all those distractions. And so we didn't just prepare physically. We need to prepare spiritually. As a matter of fact, listen now to Rick Joyner talk about that.
What we also teach is, okay, if you know that power may be out for a while and different things, this is how you would prepare. I think you need to mirror that with spiritual preparation.
Amen. Yes.
We need to have Bibles, Bible studies.
Yeah.
Your neighbors, without their television coming on, are going to be ready to read anything you give them.
That's right.
You know, to me, this is yes. harvest time.
It is.
Yes.
This
yes.
is harvest time. And
So it's our time. It's the church time. It's the soul winning time.
Right. And in natural food, I want to have enough to, if I know there's a family next door where I can bring them a meal or whatever and say,
yes.
look, I know you're probably, and bring them material to read. This really is the time we've got to prepare for salvation, for saving
yes,
souls,
yes,
and for
that's
discipling
it.
Them.
Yes.
And I believe it's going to be the best of times we've ever experienced.
Imagine if you're the ground and somebody looked at you and they said, you know, I really want you to produce. I want good things to come out of you. And you never, as the ground, piece of ground you never produced before. The first thing that they're going to do to the ground, to the soil in the ground, is they're going to break it up. They're going to de-weed it. They're going to put things, nutrients in that soil and prepare the soil for a great harvest. And what you're going to see and what you're beginning to see and it's going to continue to see is a tilling of the soil of men's hearts. And maybe you've been ministering to people for years and they're just religiously stuck or they're just stuck outside of anything to do with God. But they have all these addictions and distractions. Mm. And so when all that stuff's cut off, they're confronted with the very thing that they've been scared of and they've been running from, themselves and God. And so what are they going to do? This is a perfect time for us to be able to tell them how much God loves them and has a plan for their life. No, this is not God doing this. This is God turning us over to our decisions as a nation and as a people. And when you're seeing too, you know, you're seeing all these refugees coming over the borders. And, you know, people were saying, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is, oh, my goodness, this is bad. This is bad. Well, there are refugees that were Arab and they're being pushed out of the Muslim nations because they're not Muslim enough or they're not, they're Christians or they're non-Christians, but they're not willing to submit to Islam. And they're being converted. God loves every human being on the face of the earth, and he wants them to know him. He doesn't want anybody to die outside of knowing him. And so this is the opportunity that we can embrace the masses and begin to evangelize. And you have to shake yourself. If you've been involved in some sort of religious movement that never thought about anybody outside of your building, that's the wrong mindset. You know, God saved you and called you to go into all the world and tell everybody about him and those that believe to baptize them and to baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them his teachings and how to follow them, to disciple them. That's what we're called to do. You think about it, you've heard all these prophetic warnings, and if you've been listening and watching, you're seeing people spoken to that aren't responding, and they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's serious. I think I heard just recently somebody standing in a courtroom or clerk's room say, you know, we don't believe in your God, and there is no consequences, and these different things of that nature. And I mean, this is kind of the mindset that's going on. And so you think, you know, that this word is crying out and people aren't hearing it. The wisdom of God is crying out, saying, listen, turn around. This is not good. It's going to be bad. And so I'm going to talk about Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20 and kind of talk about that a little bit, because it'll kind of give us some insight, because you heard all these warnings. So what do we do with these warnings? What do we do? Well, there's two things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that in regards to the consequences of what's going to happen, but also how God's going to take care of those that are his. Mm. And this is what he says in his word. The word of God just says this. He says, wisdom shouts in the streets. It shouts in the streets. She cries in the public square. I mean, have we not been just seeing just cries in the public square, and the wisdom of God is crying out? It says, she calls to the crowds along the main streets, to those gathered in the front city gates, which are the governments and those type of things. How long will you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? Hmm. In other words, he's going like, hey, I'm trying to tell you how things are made, how things are designed, and it's not going to be good if you'll listen to me. You know, I got good plans in store for you, but your plans that you're walking down is not going to be good, but you're not listening to me. And so God says, you know, in his word says, how long will you mockers relish your mockery? How long will you fools hate knowledge? And so you may be kind of, you know, sad because you've been telling people God loves them, God has a plan for their life, that, you know, no, I'm not perfect, but this is the right way to go, and God's grace will get us there. And they just kind of mock you, and maybe it's your own children, maybe it's your own spouse, maybe, you know, you have been hearing from God in your prayer room, and, you know, you've been calling out to God, but you're talking to folks and they just, you know, they're mocking you, and they're mocking what you share with them. Well, this is nothing new, but something's going to happen. And so this is what he says is going to happen. He says, come and listen to my counsel. And this is his goal for us. This is what God wants for us. If you want to know what God's goal is, what his vision is for us, it's this. He says, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. He's going, I want you to know my heart. And that was the wisdom that was crying aloud at the street that he's talking about, and that's what's been happening here. The enemy twists it and mocks it and says, you know, you're just religious and you're just trying to do this. But they're about to find out that you weren't religious.
That's right.
And what we have to do is move in love, because it's going to be really rough. But this will help you out, what we're talking about, because you'll be able to read this to them or let them watch this program. And he goes on to say, he says, I called so often. This is wisdom, God just calling out in the streets. I called so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you wouldn't even pay attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So in other words, you have this persistent parent, this persistent teacher, this persistent friend, this persistent minister in your community that's just been telling you and just over and over again. And he says, but you didn't even, you know, you just mocked. You know, all those things I talked about. He says, so? This is what God's saying in his word. So I'll laugh when you're in trouble. Because a lot of people think, you know, like that old theory of the elevator, if it's going down at a rapid rate of speed from, you know, 100 floors, right before it gets to the bottom of the floor, people can jump off. And that's how they think at the last moment, if I just jump off this elevator, then I won't get hurt with the elevator. Right. But they don't know you're traveling at the same speed as the elevator.
Hello.
And a lot of people are thinking, well, if it gets really bad, I'm going to go to church. That ain't going to work anyway. You got to actually come to God. But that's what they're thinking. But at this point, there comes a point in time when God's going, nope, you're going to walk out your consequences. I'm going to give you over to your choices. And he says, when this happens, he says, you know, I'm going to laugh at your trouble. So you need to know this, that you're starting to see troubles and it's already begun, and don't carry that in your body. You aren't meant to carry that. You know, these are choices that nations are making. These are choices that individuals are making. You cannot handle that. You got to give that to God, because his plans are going to be worked out in their life. It's going to be worked out in a nation's life. And so he says, I'll laugh at your troubles. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. So, I mean, you're thinking, you know, God, you're praying for the folks, and God's going, you remember you did pray for them. You did talk to them. You did tell them, and they didn't respond. This is now my answer to them. But it's not to write the person off. It's actually to write them in the Lamb's Book of Life. The difficulty and the struggle and the hardship is to be able to get them to begin to think about their life and their choices. Then he says, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone and anguish and distress overwhelm you. He's like, oh, he's going to be laughing. He's going to be mocking. He says, when they cry for help, this is like in that turmoil, when they cry for help, I will not answer. But think about it. Did you answer him when he called to you? It's kind of like doing the same thing, right? He says, though they're anxiously searching for me, they will not find me. So there'll be a time when you're thinking, why don't this pain so bad? Why don't they just come to God? Well, it had to be really difficult to break that hard heart and that stiff neck and those type of things. He says, for they hated knowledge. And you're seeing people right now just going like, I don't even want to hear it. Don't even bring God in the schools. Don't bring him in the courtroom. Don't bring him up in your workplace. They're just rejecting the knowledge of God. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. That's so important. Eat the fruit of living their own way. In other words, he's not creating something. He's just saying, okay, you know, eat the fruit of your own way. And you think about a baby that's walking with their parent and they're learning how to walk and you're holding the child's hand. You know, that sometimes kids go, you know, I don't need to hold your hand. They have no idea that you're holding them up. And so they let go of your hand and they fall over.
Yeah.
You know, and the parent just kind of chuckles a little bit and holds their hand back out again. That's the kind of laughing that I believe it is, because it's you know, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life.
Not only that, but all these enablers that have been enabling people for so long.
That will probably be an impossibility.
Yeah, from tasting the bitter fruit of their consequences, God's not going to allow them to do that anymore.
No, and if you do play God, you'll play it for about a week or two, and then you, now you're out.
That's right.
And the same thing is like, you know, he wants them to turn to God, not to you. Mm. But God may use you to turn them to him. And he says, so they'll eat the fruit of their ways, choking on their own scheme. So God's going to basically just give them over. This is what happened to Israel. Israel was in the wilderness. They wanted things in the world. They wanted food like the world had in Egypt. And they said, listen, we want birds. We want quail. And they demanded it of God. We don't want your food anymore. We don't want manna. You know, I don't want, this is what's being said today, right? They're saying, I don't want the word of God, which is the bread of life. I don't want scriptures. I don't want to hear about the word of God. We want quail. We want the world's way of doing things. Right. And so God gave them so much quail to what was coming out their nose. And he said, but while the meat was in their teeth, his anger burned against them. This helps us understand that he was just turning them over their choices and those consequences were happening. Then he says, For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. I mean, if there's one big thing taking place, you know, I mean, taking place in America is complacency.
Yeah,
it's amazing how complacent. Which you mean, think about that. It's like everything
not
is okay,
long.
Not moved
not
at all.
Long.
I mean, you talk about people and they say, well, this is not judgment. It's like he's dead. The man's dead.
Right.
You know, that's terrible, but it just doesn't come near their hearts. Mm. And he says complacency, he says, but all who listen to me, and this is what he wanted all along, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. Mm. I mean, think about that. So all this is going on, but those who fear the Lord, who listen to him and follow him, you're going to have a peaceful life. Despite the trouble, God's going to protect you from that harm.
Yeah. And I believe it's going to be a process. Many people are fearing, what I'm hearing, is they're fearing their loss, they're fearing their comfort, they're fearing their personal pain. But that's going to transition quickly to, oh my goodness, I need to fear God. Forget about the stuff, things in my comfort. I've been putting my fear in the wrong. I need to fear God.
Yeah, yeah. And the fear of God is the beginning. Mm. Of wisdom. So if there's no fear in someone's life, they haven't even begun yet. And the fear of the Lord is not like I'm scared of God, but it's more of being aware that God is God. He's the creator of all things. He holds things together. He actually gives you the air that you're breathing. He holds you together and his eyes are always upon you. And if there's consequences for walking outside of his expectations of us, because he's the one that designed things and he knows what's going to happen when we take the wrong road. He knows what's going to happen in the context of that. So that's what, you know, the whole thing, that's sandwiched between, you know, I want to share my heart with you. I want to walk with you. I was wanting to share wisdom with you, make you wise. And I mean, wisdom is a lacking thing, I think. I mean, it's amazing. But God wants to make you wise. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. in Psalms 91, when you lock into Psalms 91, it's going to really drive home the reality that why we always talk about abiding with the Lord. If you haven't yet began to abide with the Lord, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You can see it on your screen right at the lower part right here. But understand this, that abiding with the Lord is spending time with him, hiding his word in your heart, like reading the scriptures and meditating on just one or two of those scriptures throughout that week, asking him, you know, whatever jumps out to you when you're reading, something just jumps out. You write that down. You ask a question. What does that mean to me? And then you just meditate on that, and you come back to the connection of the reality of the cross, beginning this whole thing with gratitude. We have all that for you at iabide.org. Why? Think about this. Psalms 91 tells us when all these things begin to happen, and they're happening, and they're going to continue to happen probably over the next 5 years, I would guess, possibly seven, is Psalms 91 says, those who abide in the shelter of the Almighty, those who live in God, who live in the shelter of God, who walk with him, who listen to him, you know, and follow his instructions and allow him to share his heart. That's what he's talking about. He said, those who do this, those who abide in him with the Most High, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, it's amazing how restful you can be. I mean, that's a place that if God would allow us, we would just stay in that one place. There's nothing like it, you know.
Yeah, and I find it so interesting. It's resting and abiding in God, not the things of God, not the things that we're accustomed to or any form of religion, but it's resting in the comfort of his peace, of his love, in his word, in his presence, and being totally engrossed with who God is, just enjoying him.
Right. It's totally awesome. We're going to talk so much more about this because he said he's not going to let it come near your dwelling. He's going to protect you, even if it's disease, even if it's evil folks. I mean, it's time for you to understand who he is. You can have confidence in his word, and it's very exciting. I mean, you think about it. You know, that was the first thing we talked about in Proverbs where he says, you know, this calamity is going to happen. I'm giving you over to your own choices. That's a scary thing when God turns you over to yourself. You know, I mean, God really sustains us, and so it's going to get really rough. But he says that those that dwell in abide in him in the shadow of the Almighty will have peace. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say this. He says, you know, in Psalms 91, he says, I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge. And a refuge is a very important thing because it's a place you can go to. And you need a place in your life where you go to meet with God. He's always with you, but a place, an abiding place that you go. We can talk about that more at iabide.org. But he alone is our refuge, my place of safety. I mean, you can have all the beans, the bullets, and whatever you got going on, but that's, you know, God protects us.
That's right.
He's the one that protects us. He alone is my refuge, he says, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Now, you notice in Proverbs chapter 1, he was saying, not only do you not trust me, but you don't even listen to me enough. So if somebody doesn't listen to God and listen to the warning or anything to know about the word, they have no trust in God whatsoever. Mm. And he's saying, but you, it's you that follow him, that abide with him, you can trust me. You can trust God. He is trustworthy. And then he says, for he will rescue you from every single trap. And if you're worried about some kind of trap somebody's going to set up to you, whether it's a technical trap, whether it's a physical trap, whether it's a business trap, whether it's some religious trap, he said he will protect, he'll rescue you from those traps. He'll protect you from deadly disease. I mean, some of the words that's been given, I mean, we're going to see more, you know, disease and things happen of that nature. Just have confidence. Your faith is your shield, which annihilates and destroys all the evil, fiery darts of the evil one. And so all these kind of schemes and plans, he protects you. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithfulness, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. All these promises that I just talked about, that's your armor. When you have faith and you think, this is what God told me, this is how it is, I trust God, I believe God, I have faith in God in these things, that's your armor. That's what protects you. Now, if you're walking around fearful, anxious, and, you know, oh, no, the sky's falling, and just all these doubtful things, I mean, you have no armor.
That's right.
Your armor is trusting in God, and he is faithful. Realize he's the one that's done all these things that maybe you had been challenged that you took credit for. Go back and just restructure the credit in your life. And when the credits roll, you know, let them roll honestly for God. But then he goes on and says, listen, don't be afraid of terror. I mean, how many people are concerned about terror? Do not be afraid of terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. So all this terror that you see going on with ISIS and all these different things. Listen, as Christians, as believers, you know, you're not going to live forever. And the moment that you are not here in the body, you're going to be present with God in the spirit instantly. You know, 90 minutes in heaven, think about 90,000 years in heaven, eternity. And so it's a win-win situation for a Christian. That we should not be fearful. The last thing that we should be fearful of is death.
That's right.
The one thing that we should be fearful of is, have we done what God has called us to do before that day comes?
That's right.
You know? So do not be afraid of terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. He says, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness. Mm. I mean, how many people, they're so, I mean, they got so much, they get hand sanitizer, like that on every little thing, squirting hand sanitizer on everything. I mean, I think they wash their hamburger with hand sanitizer, which, by the way, you're going to be less healthier being that clean.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to be exposed to some stuff. But they're just constantly fearful of disease. And it's like, we're not supposed to dread that.
Mm-mm.
That's not something we're supposed to dread. And our armor and our protection is, you know, my God protects us. He keeps us safe. Nor does disaster strike, nor be afraid or dread the disaster that would come at midday. And we've seen some disasters come. But understand this, that you're not supposed to dread that. Dread is actually fear. It's like expecting, some people live in dread and regret. They regret yesterday and they dread in tomorrow. Mm. They're never living in the day. God is in the now, and you can trust him. He's just faithful. And he tells us, he says, though 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, this particular evil, it won't even touch you. So when you're starting to see people fall because of their consequences and choices that they made, you should not be going, oh, it's going to come near us, and oh, it's going to happen to us, and our stuff's going to fall too, and we're going to get that too. And it's like God's going, no, he says, it's not going to come. You're going to see it, but it's not going to come near you. There's something about human nature that believes if you see it, it's going to happen to you.
Right.
That's not what God's saying. He says, that's not what's going to happen. He says, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. And so we're going to begin to see some consequences take place. You know, if you go stand in front of a car that's moving 100 miles an hour, the consequences of that ignorance is you're going to see the inside of a bumper, and then you're going to see God.
Yeah.
But if you listen to God and you make wise choices, God's going to protect you, and you're going to be able to see the consequences. Because people, we just heard just recently, I don't believe in that. You know, there are no consequences for our behavior. And it's like, Okay, we'll see. And then he says in verse 9, he says, if you make the Lord your refuge, which starts with an if you make the Most High your shelter, begins with an if, no evil will conquer you, which means, people will set some traps. People will do some traps, but God will deliver you from them. Things will try to conquer you, but they will not successfully conquer you. No plague will even come near your home. You need to pray over your home and dedicate your home to God. If you've taken credit for your home and your stuff and your things, give it to God.
Yeah, careful.
Give it to God. He said, for he will order his angels to protect you and protect you from whatever happens. Wherever you go, they'll protect you. He said, they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He says, you will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue. I will rescue those who love me. Remember, Proverbs 1 was saying, I'm not going to rescue you. But he said, but those who love me, I will rescue. So that's why you want to abide with him. He's going to rescue you. He says, I will rescue you. Then he says, I will protect those who trust in my name. What do you think about the name of Jesus? Do you think it's just some religious statement or some? There's power in the name of Jesus. It's by this name that every man will bow his knee and confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's by that name you have authority to do things in the name of Jesus and to protect yourself. And you need to practice invoking the name of Jesus in your life and see his name. Trust. He says, I will protect those who trust in my name. Start trusting in the name of Jesus. And even Jesus said to the Father when he was praying, I believe in John chapter 17, he says, Father, I protected them by that name that you gave me. I mean, what are you protecting by the name that Jesus gave you? And then he says, and when you call on me, remember, You remember when he said earlier in Proverbs 1, you'll call and I won't answer, but these who abide with him, who love him and follow him, he says, when you call on me, I will answer you. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will rescue and honor you. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Here we are. We're in the transition. You know, those that go their own way and don't listen to the wisdom of God, you know, you're not in control of them. You're not in control of other people. They're making those choices for themselves. You can pray for them, but understand, just because that happens to them or happens to that city or happens to that government or happens to that business does not mean it's going to happen to yours. You can have faith in the name of Jesus and the love of God as you abide with him and that he will protect you. I want to pray with you right now that God would give you that kind of confidence. You know, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Sure and certain. It's time for us now to enter into that surety and certainty. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that the best days are ahead for the church, God. I thank you, Lord God, that we're going to begin to see the whole thing begin to shake and tremble, Lord. But you, as we abide under your shadow of the Almighty, Lord God, you will protect those that are yours. And I pray for confidence to come over your people, Lord. Faith and the understanding of the power that's in your name, Lord God, that they would not be ashamed of your name, but they would be confident that it's the name of Jesus that we have this authority, this power, and the ability to be protected. In Jesus' name, I pray. And I just pray right now, even now as we speak to you, that you would begin to just be confident in knowing and knowing that God is with you, that he will protect you, he will keep you. And if you haven't yet, go to iabide.org and get your free abiding plan today. You need to know his voice because you're going to have to follow him in the days to come. God bless you. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.